Thank you to our team this morning for that special Thanksgiving praise service. We appreciate it so very much. That was beautiful. I didn't do it. Chris, did you pinch him or something? Okay. Gotta watch that. This morning's scripture is a familiar one from Luke's Gospel, and it's chapter 17, and I'll be reading verses 11 through 19. Verses 11 through 19 of chapter 17. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. And as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God. In a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." Well, in Luke's gospel here before us today on this Thanksgiving Sunday, we have a story of several stories that are included here in Luke that are often referred to as the journey section. And Jesus is on a journey between Samaria and Galilee at this point. But what is happening here is he's performing miracles as he goes along the way. And so now, this miracle contains for us really a double-edged sword. It's very difficult to see what's going on here. But understand this about this story. There's cultural tension here. We have Jews and we have Samaritans. They didn't like each other. That's one thing that's going on. The other deal here is that we have a guy that has leprosy. Not only one, but we have 10 that have leprosy. And we know because they had leprosy, they were to be quarantined. They were considered, even the Samaritans were considered half-breeds because of their racial background. And yes, even racial times were difficult in the Bible. And we think, you know, that never happened in biblical times. It did. And unfortunately, it still happens today. But the Samaritan leper was receiving God's help. That was very shocking to people. That Jesus, who, by the way, is a Jew, was giving pity to this Samaritan who also happened to be a leper. And so many people in that culture would say that the leper, or someone even as a Samaritan, was beyond help. The Samaritan was beyond help because they kind of didn't pay much attention to God. And the leper, of course, for obvious reasons, was shunned from society. They had to keep their distance from society. They had to be quarantined. Remember that word from a few years ago? We all do. So as Jesus enters this village, these 10 lepers from a distance call out to him. And the fact that they even drew close to Jesus says something about their understanding of who they knew he was. We know later that they say, "Jesus, Master." So they had some understanding of who he was. And so they call out from a distance to him, and they ask him to have pity on them. The Old Testament is very clear about these laws that people that have disease have to stay away from people. They were contagious. They had to live in isolation. And, you know, we often think about leprosy as a skin disorder, which it is, but in its worst forms, you can have these bumps on your skin. You can become disfigured and deformed, and a lot of times you're scaly. And so it's a really kind of a gross thing to think about, to have this disease. And so you can see why people were concerned, because they were contagious. Again, once, like we had COVID-19, when we had COVID, we stayed in because we were considered contagious. But they cry out to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, Lord, have pity on us." Here is their cry for compassion. They want Jesus to recognize them, to have pity on him. They believe that Jesus can bring them healing. That's why they cry out to him. But what does Jesus not do? He does not reach out and touch them. He does not say to them, "Be healed," but instead he tells them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." Well, there's biblical background for that as well, because in order to be declared clean, you had to go to a priest in order for them to say, "Yes, you are now free of this disease, you are clean, and you can reassociate with society and be part of them once again." So Jesus telling them to go indicates to them that healing will take place. And it also indicates to them that they have faith in order to obey him, that they went ahead and they did go, as Jesus said. And the Bible says that while they were on their way, they were healed. This is a picture of God's amazing grace. Get that reference, Paxton? God's amazing grace. And the healing allows these men to return to a normal life. Just think about it. Being quarantined, being put into an asylum somewhere, wherever you may be, and not being able to connect with society and move and go as you feel free. It's very difficult. So the healing allows these men to return to that normal life. And though subsequent events show that the deliverance is not full forgiveness, and we'll learn more about that here in just a little bit, the exciting thing for me here in this scripture passage, and the thing I really want us to pick up on, especially on this Sunday, is that one returns to give thanks. One of them breaks from the group as they are walking to go see the priest. They break from the group. This one breaks from the group. And he comes back, and it also says here, they're in a loud voice two different times because they're at a distance. They have to, "Hey, we're over, have pity on us." Then the one comes back, and he finds himself at the feet of Jesus, which is also very symbolic, because you sit at the feet of a rabbi, the teacher. And so he's at his feet, and in a loud voice, he is praising God for what God has done for him. He recognizes as he's going on his way that he has been healed. And then Jesus poses this question. Here, only this one foreigner comes back. This one foreigner, which can be interpreted as, you are a pagan, you are a heathen. Only that one, that really puts it in perspective. These others, as they go away, they don't think about it. They don't think about returning to Jesus. And Luke notes for us here in the scripture that he was a Samaritan. Interesting. And then Jesus asked the next question. He said, "Were not 10 of you healed? Were not there 10 of you? Where are the other 9? When I was in college back in the 80s, there was a Christian song called "Where Are the Other 9?" And I remember that, and that's why I put that title in there today. But Jesus asked the question, "Where are the other 9?" Jesus does a couple of things here. He commends the gratitude of this one who's come back. It's a good thing to give thanks to the Lord, is what Jesus is saying here. He also shows that there is a response that is possible for those that are considered foreigners, those outside the family of God, which the Jews, of course, the chosen people, understood this, that they were the chosen people, and yet they still are today. But Jesus made it possible for the Gentiles, the rest of us, the Samaritans, the people that were considered foreigners, to find relationship with God. And so he does that as well, and he establishes that healing is possible from people outside the nation of Israel. And then he gives this final commendation when he says to him, "Your faith has made you well." Your faith has made you well. Didn't say the priests made him well, because he hadn't gotten that far yet, because he had cleansed him. Jesus had given him that word, go and see the priest. But here he says, your faith has made you well. This word well can be interpreted a couple different ways. One of the ways is that you will be made whole. So physically, he probably felt, I feel so much better. I'm healed. I have that healing. But beyond that, it means salvation. Your faith has given you salvation. This is the most important part of what Jesus tells him. And in other places in Scripture, in chapter 7 and verse 50 of this same chapter, Luke writes, your faith has saved you. So it's important to note that it wasn't just here, but it's also a couple of other occasions in Luke's gospel where he talks about faith saving you. It's not works, it's not our deeds or anything like that, but it is through faith in Jesus Christ that we are all saved. And so the portrait of Jesus' compassion is really crucial here, isn't it? As we think about this context, Samaritans, Jews, foreigners, those who are diseased and shunned and put off by society. And it shows us that Jesus, the Son of God, is willing to reach out to anybody who is willing to come to them for pity and compassion, to him for pity and compassion. It shows us that Jesus is willing to reach anyone, and he is grateful for the times in which we come to him and say, thank you for what you have done for us. And he turns no one away. Now, you may be sitting there this morning and say, I've been praying forever to be healed. We're talking about physical healing. We may not get that complete physical healing in this world that we want. But Jesus hears your prayer. Jesus has compassion on you, and he promises us that he'll be with us to the very end of the age. And so when Jesus, when you cry out for help to Jesus, he responds, but more than just with physical healing, he responds to your emotional and your spiritual needs as well. It's significant, as I said, of who he helped. He helped someone that, consider this, they would have been an outsider. They weren't able to work. So imagine now this is you. You now have no job. You can't stay in your home because you have to be quarantined with other people who also have this dreadful disease. You have no community. You no longer live here in Greenville because you can't stay here. We ship everybody out to live somewhere else because we can't have diseased people here. We have no home, no place to stay. Imagine if you're walking in those shoes. Jesus listened to that person. And I think it's important that we recognize that Jesus, all throughout Scripture, considers the strangers, the outcast, the people that society looks down upon, the poor, the widows, the orphans. Jesus looks to them, and he grants him his pity and his compassion. It's one of the main reasons why we are beginning a community table here next month, where we will serve a free meal to anyone who comes. And we hope to do it maybe on a weekly basis, but right now, the first Wednesday of December. The Samaritan turns around and he expresses his faith to Jesus. He appreciated his restoration to life. He appreciated and shared his gratitude with God. But beyond his physical healing, he experienced wholeness, completeness in his spiritual walk as never before. What does this all mean for you and me today? And then I'll close. Yes, I'm going to close. I'm hungry too. Our hearts need to commune with God. You know, we try to fill our lives with other stuff, and it's not all bad. We have family, we have friends, we have our jobs, we have things that we do. That's good. That's all part of what God created. But you know, we need to express our praise and our gratitude to God. We have a wonderful day in our country called Thanksgiving Day, and it's set aside each year so that we can be thankful. But Thanksgiving is a holiday, it's one day, and Thanksgiving is really about a whole lifestyle. always praising God. And praise is something that helps to reestablish us with God and to engage Him once more and be thankful. And we just did that this morning as we sang praises to God. Oftentimes it's done corporately through worship. And we recount God's goodness. And God is to be honored. The second thing that this means to us is that we need to have a personal time of thanksgiving. So not only as we gather here in church on Sunday morning, but you and I need to have a personal time of thanksgiving, where we have a quiet time, what you've heard is referred to as a quiet time or a devotion or prayer time. When you connect with God, someone just told me this morning about an experience they had in their home, connecting with God through His Word. God still speaks through that Word today. And what this does for us is it allows us to cleanse our attitudes, because we tend to get bad attitudes in our world, don't we? You know, everything seems to be going the wrong way, and we kind of become bitter. But we can come to God, and we need to spend a healthy time with Him, a good time with God, and reflect on His care and His goodness to us. We can all do that. We've all got people, things, employment, family, all this to be thankful for. Instead of thinking about what we're owed and what's due us, we must think about pausing like the Samaritan did, to sit at the feet of Jesus and give Him thanks. The reaction of these nine, the ones that didn't come back, they were still healed, but they weren't made whole. They didn't experience the salvation that Jesus offered that day. They were healed physically. We tend to also take God's graciousness for granted. When the blessings of life seem to result in God's grace, it makes us a kinder and more grateful people. But then that attitude can creep in. That creeps into all of us from time to time, let's be honest. It creeps into all of us from time to time. And when that attitude of what we are owed creeps in, what we think we're due in this life, it only sows seeds of anger and bitterness. What the Samaritan did was he stopped. He stopped in the middle of all of life's busyness. He paused. He turned off the TV. He got off the internet. Okay? Follow me here. They had that back then. Anyway, he did these things because he wanted to connect with God. He was thankful and appreciated all that God did for him. And in return, the Lord did more than he even expected. Not only granted him physical healing, he made him well, he made him whole, he made him complete. The Samaritan made the right choice in being thankful. So what can we take from this today? People in biblical times were also outcasts, but it didn't keep them away from Jesus. Churches have not done a good job of this through the years. We've shunned people away from the church who weren't like us, didn't understand Jesus quite yet. We need to reach those people as Jesus did. We also need to understand from this that Jesus is approachable. You know, we have this idea that Jesus is God, some faraway place. That was God in the beginning, but God wanted to have a relationship with us, and He sent Jesus to be God in the flesh because He wanted to be with you. He wanted to be with this world. Those who cry to Jesus, they will receive compassion. Those who come to Jesus receive more than just physical healing. And finally, we are encouraged through this scripture, like the Samaritan, to take time out to be grateful unto God. I trust that you and your family will enjoy a beautiful Thanksgiving this year, that you will spend that day in thanks, and that God will bless you and all that you love this Thanksgiving and all into the new year. Amen.